Shavua Tov, Chag Sameach. It's always a tremendous honor to be teaching in this building. It's an even bigger honor to be teaching in this building, not only Talmidot, but also their parents. And I believe it's in Zechariah that says that one of the signs of Geula, the Navi tells us that in the future, children and parents will be sitting in the streets of Yerushalayim. And Baruch Hashem, tonight, a couple blocks away from Korban, we're watching together Geula. We're sitting and learning Torah on Rosh Hashanah Rabbah. And many of us may not know what Rosh Hashanah Rabbah really is. And but I hope that tonight, that tonight's share will help us give us a little bit of an insight, a little bit of perspective. You're in charge, okay? And I hope that'll be interesting. I know this is a late share, okay? So everybody's gonna have to get into it, okay? I'm gonna fall asleep if you start falling asleep, okay? So I need your help. And Bezrat Hashem, we will have a Gechizuk, okay? So we're gonna start with source number one, okay? This is the Shulchan Aruch. B'yom Shvi Shu Hoshana Rabbah, on the seventh day of Sukkot, which is known as Hoshana Rabbah, which is tonight. Okay, if nobody told you, today's Hoshana Rabbah. And what do we do on Hoshana Rabbah? Noagim laharbos mizmori kimo biyantif. We say many more mizmori. We say add to our tfilos like on yantif. Okay, and he goes on to say the Rama adds the ain omri nishmas. We don't say nishmas. The omri mizmor lesoda. We do say mizmor lesoda. The omri ain kamocha shma yisrael. We add all the things when we take out the Torah from the Aron. Tomorrow we're gonna say Shema Yisrael, like on Shabbos. Okay, and we're going to say Hashem, Hashem, Karachim, V'chanu, like the Yamin Arayim. And tomorrow, Hoshana Rabbah is treated like a Yantif. And then listen to this. Romim Kaddish, Shalachar, Tfilas, Musaf, Benigin, Yantif. And we say the Kaddish, that after Musaf, we say it like on Yantif, with joyous tunes. V'ein Regilim, Asamachar, Shachal, Amoyed, Achar, Fayin. Three dots, dot. Kasur Rishonim. Harishonim. Listen to this. A really, really strange thing. Don't get so worried. Okay? Whenever you say these types of segula things, people start freaking out. It is pretty freaky. I got a little freaked out. Okay? But you'll see the Shulchan Aruch will tell you, don't worry. Just calm down. Don't take it so seriously. But we're going to have to understand what it's saying. Listen to this. I bolded it. Shiyesh simin batzil halavana b'lil Hoshana Rabbah. This is an unbelievable thing. There is a sign on the night of Hoshana Rabbah, during Hoshana Rabbah, that based on the shade, what does that mean? Below Hoshana Rabbah, Mashi Yikrolo Ole Krov Boso Hashana. Something to do with shade. Shade tells us something that's going to happen to us this year. What does that mean? Okay, just skip the source number two. Okay, this is the Ramban. What does it mean that the shade is important on Hoshana Rabbah? Shinoda ki belel achosim. You should know on the night of Hoshana Rabbah, Lo Yetzil LeRosh HaIsha. If a person doesn't see a shadow on the night of Hoshana Rabbah, Asher Yamus Hashana, you'll die that year. Okay? So if a person sees his shadow on Hoshana Rabbah, if you see it, you're going to live. If you don't see it, you're going to die. Okay? Groundhog Day, exactly. You see, everything comes from Torah, right? So, but what does that mean? What does that mean? If I see my shadow, I'm going to live. If I don't see my shadow, what does that mean? The Shulchan Aruch continues. For those of you who are nervous about this, the HB Shekasav She'ein Diktuk Bazaar, some people say, don't pay attention to this. Why? Because nowadays, we don't really understand what that means. Don't get yourself worried. Calm down. But I understand the idea. What does it mean that if I see my shadow, I'm going to live, and if I don't, I'm going to die? If you go a sentence down from that bolded line in source number one, okay, at the end of that line, but Yoser Tov, we see that? Sorry. Source number one, three lines up from the bottom. Okay? Three lines up at the period. Okay? We see that? Umarbim, Kitzat, Benero, we see that? Yes? Thumbs up?
Yeah.
Excellent. If you don't have it, ask your neighbor. Umarbim, Kitzat, Benero, Kimobi, Amakipurim. And what we do is we shall light many candles like the Yom Kippur. Hoshana Rabbah is like now like Yom Kippur. First it was like Yantif, now we're shifting over, it's like Yom Kippur. People have a minhag to go to the mikvah. Come over Yom HaKippurim. Arab Yom Kippur, like Arab Yom Kippur, we go to the mikvah. So too, Anoshana Rabbah. Some people have a minhag to wear a kittel, like Yom Kippur, tomorrow. Because what's going on Hoshana Rabbah is very important. We're getting judged on water. Tomorrow is the day of judgment on water. And we remove the things that's the what's it called? The bounds that we have on our lulav. We go around the shul 7 times. And we say many tefillos regarding water. Okay? Many questions. Okay, a couple questions. Is it a yomtiv? Is it Yom Kippur? What's happening? Is it yomtiv? Sounds like first I was saying it's like yomtiv, and then he said it's like Yom Kippur. So what's Hoshana Rabbah? It's a yomtiv. It's Yom Kippur. It's a Yom Hadin. We see it's a Yom Hadin. Why is it a Yom Hadin on Mayim? Why do I care about water so much? Not only that, if you look at source number 3, not only why there's a more. It's not just about water. The Gra says, "Sha'az gamar din sha'adam gan came in a Mayim." It's not just a judgment day for water, but for man as well. Man's judgment. What we thought we finished on Yom Kippur wasn't done on Yom Kippur. Our final judgment, what's going to happen to us this year, is going to be decided tomorrow. Shamayim Chaim Lom. And so the third question is, why is our judgment connected to the judgment of water? Why does our judgment end with water's judgment? What's the connection? And finally, it seems that there's a tremendous emphasis on more tefillah. There's going to be a lot of tefillah tomorrow. There's going to be a lot of extra tefillahs we say. We say tomorrow, Pesukah de Zimra, that we say is the Pesukah de Zimra of Yantif. There's a lot more tefillah, and he says we add mizmorim. What's with adding all the tefillahs? Okay? Those are a couple questions. Now I have one more question. Okay? And this has to do with Sukkot as a whole. Source number 4. V'chol korban min chasecha b'melech timlach. Every korban that was brought in the Beis HaMikdash had to have salt brought with it. Okay? And this melech, v'lo tashvis melech bris elokecha, that this melech had a covenant performed with it. Salt. Salt had a covenant performed with it. What does that mean, it had a covenant performed with it? Look at Rashi and source number 5. Shabris krusa lemelech, mishes mebreish HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a covenant with salt on the 6th day of creation, during the 6 days of creation, that what? Sheftucho amayim v'tachtonim likor b'mizbeach b'melech v'nisuch amayim b'chag. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a covenant with salt. Salt comes from water. That God made a covenant that every single korban will have salt. And then on Sukkot, we're going to bring something called a Nisuch HaMayim. What was a Nisuch HaMayim? Anybody know? We took water, we poured it on the Mizbeach. It was a special offering that was done on every day of Sukkot. And it's emphasized on Hoshana Rabbah. And it was the greatest Simcha. And the question is, what's this bris? What's this covenant that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made with water? Why is it that water specifically brought, the Nisuch HaMayim is brought on Sukkot? That's what I want to understand. Okay? And the final question I have two more questions. Okay? A lot of questions, and we're going to come to hopefully understand everything. Okay? If you look at source number 6. Anybody know why we have Dalet Minim? Why do we have a lulav and esrog adasim and ram? Why do we have those things? Let me know. Everybody ask yourself, it's weird. Okay, let's just take a step back. Okay, don't be so firm right now. Take a step back. I take a palm branch and I'm waving it like this, and I got my lulav and esrog. Everybody, you know, like doing the hokey pokey. Why? Anybody? We never thought of this question. Did anybody think of this question over Yantiv? Good, you're thinking. Awesome. Okay, listen to what the Medrash says. The Medrash in source number 6, I'm on the second line. Benoik Shabaolom Handisin Ratzi Barpilchos. That when a person, the way of the world is that when a person is in a fight, you have a duel with somebody, Minota Luba Mishuhu Notzeach. Who comes out holding something at the end? The person who was victorious in the fight. If you kill the other guy, you come out holding the spoils. Kach Rosh Hashanah, Bayin Kol Bayi Olam, V'Orin L'Fanam Kim Aram. At Rosh Hashanah, everybody came before God in judgment. V'Av Yisrael, Orin L'Fanam, Im Kol Bayi Olam. And the Jewish people came in judgment with the non-Jewish people. We all came to judgment before God. V'Shari Ha'umas Olim Anu, Notzchim V'Zachinu B'Din. And you know what happens when we left Rosh Hashanah? The non-Jewish people say, we won. We all went to judgment. The non-Jewish people said, we won. And Kli Yisrael says, no, we won. Ve'ein Adam Yodea Mi, we're on page 2 now. Natzeach, we don't know who won. Kli Yisrael, the Umas Ha'olam. Im Am Yisrael, Notzchim, Umas Ha'olam. Who won? Ava Rosh Hashanah V'Chol Yisrael Bayim B'Yom HaKippurim U'Misanim Ba. And we went from Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur. We were all fasting. We're wearing white, nice clothing. We still don't know who won. We went to Rosh Hashanah. We went to Yom Kippur. Who won the war? Once Sukkot comes, the first day of Sukkot comes, all of Klal Yisrael, the young and the old, everybody comes with the lulav and the esrog. Everybody comes with dal and minim. They have their esrog. Miyara kol yodim shisal notzmi neim. We come. These are our spoils of war. We are showing we are victorious. We won. We achieved closeness with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. And what do we do? V'kevan shigia yom Hoshana Rabbah. When Hoshana Rabbah comes, notlin arve nachal. We not only have our dal and minim, but we take, what are we going to take tomorrow? We're going to smack it on the floor. An arava. So we don't only have our dal and minim, we have the arava. Umakipit shav akapos, and we go around, we went around the mizbeach 7 times with these aravos, and we focused on the aravos. And because we had those aravos, it says at the end, over here, the last bolded part, umiyad malachim ashar smechim, when the malachim, imagine this, in Shemayim tomorrow, the malachim are going to see us with our aravos. And they're going to be so happy. Nitzchu Yisrael. They're going to say, Klal Yisrael won. You did it. They're going to see the Aravos and they're going to say, you did it. What's with the Aravos? This is the last step of Sukkot. This is the last step of everything. Why are we taking Arava? I have a bigger question. Why the Arava? If you look at source number 7, everybody knows this Medrash. Okay? The Dalet Minim. Each of the Dalet Minim represent a different person in Klal Yisrael. Okay, look at the Medrash. I'm going to do the bolded parts. You see it says Esrog, Kapos Tamarim, Hadas, and Arava. You see that in bolded in 7? I'm going to read each of those. The Esrog, what does the Esrog represent? Anybody know? The Esrog represents a Tzaddik. Why does it represent a Tzaddik? Because Yeshbo Tam, it has taste, the Yeshbo Reach, and it has smell. An esrog smells good and it tastes good. That's a tzaddik. That's somebody who's awesome, amazing. And then you have kapos tamarim. Okay, the dates, the date tree. That's the lulav. What's so unique about a lulav? A lulav has taste, but doesn't have smell. And that represents somebody who's okay, right? That represents somebody who has Torah, but doesn't have good deeds. Doesn't Maisin Tovim. And then there's the Hadas. The Hadas has good smell, but doesn't have any taste. So that's somebody who doesn't have so much Torah, but it's a mensch. They have Midos. And that's praiseworthy. And then there is the Arava. Okay? This is Arava, Nebuch, the poor Arava. You want to know what's with the Arava? The Arava has no taste or smell. It's the lowest of the lowest. The sinners of Klal Yisrael. That's what the Aravos represents. If that's true, I'm going to Hoshana Rabbah. Hoshana Rabbah is the end of the din. Hoshana Rabbah is the end point. And I'm taking an Aravah. Take an Esrog. Take a Lulav. Okay, take Hadas. An Aravah. And when they see the Aravos and Shemayim, the Malachim are dancing, they're having a simcha, what's going on? What's with the Arava? And we have to understand this because tomorrow it's the Avodah of the day. And the final question is tonight, We don't realize it's not just us in this room here tonight. Tonight we have an unbelievable guest. A guest who comes every single Motzei Shabbos, but he comes in bigger force this Motzei Shabbos. That every night we had a guest that entered our sukkah with us. Avram, Yitzhak, Yaakov, Moshe, Aaron, David. And tonight is Davar HaMelech. It's unbelievable. The night of Motzei Shabbos and Davar HaMelech comes. We do Malava Malka. We do Malava Malka for Davar HaMelech. Tonight, Davar HaMelech, he's the guest. What's the connection of Davar HaMelech and Hoshana Rabbah? Okay? So I think we're starting, I think that maybe the title makes sense now, right? Hoshana Rabbah, Willows. What is it? Water, Willows, and Davar HaMelech. Okay, we brought all those things up. Water, Willows, and Davar HaMelech. We just asked the question. Now you understand the title. Now we need to get the answers. And hopefully with the answers, we'll be able to have more depth and appreciation and chizuk to really get us through Hoshana Rabbah and really have koach to enter the next part of the year. Because the year doesn't end with Sukkot. It goes on. We have a whole Shana Aleph, Shana Bet. Whoever here is Shana Aleph, Shana Bet. Any parents want to come, could be Shana Aleph. Whatever you are, you can come back. We can have you. I want to start with understanding Simcha. Sukkot is Zman Simcha Seinu. And I want to look at source number 8. One of the most famous psukim in all of the Torah. This is during the Tochacha, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us all the bad things that are going to happen to us if we don't listen to His Torah. We're going to have a Chorban. It's going to be horrible. It's going to be, people are going to die. People are going to starve. And listen, why is HaKadosh Baruch Hu going to bring the Tochacha? Source number 8. You didn't serve God with happiness. You didn't have Simcha. And therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to punish you. He's going to bring Chorban. Anybody have a question? It's late. You guys, this is MMY. Okay? MMY. Anybody have a question? Chorban is going to come because you don't have Simcha. Yes?
I mean, the question would be if, like, at least we're doing the mitzvah, like,
it doesn't have to be, like, the Simcha or whatever, like, it doesn't really, like, deserve Chorban. That's one question, a great question, of, like, okay, so we didn't do it for Simcha. So what? We did the mitzvah. Okay? Good question. Yes? What do you mean?
Explain. Like that already happened.
Well, this is before. This is in Devar. This is in Devarim. This is before the Korban. The Korban is going to happen. How's it apply now? Okay, another good question. We're still in Korban, so I guess it still does apply. I want everybody to think: why did Korban happen? Yes. Yeah, returning. Mahash, unbelievable. Just got here. Come here. She's fly high. Yeah. Beautiful. Unbelievable. Yael, beautiful question. The question I wanted to ask. Okay? The first place I made this was destroyed because of the big three. People were killing each other, doing Avodah Zarah, they were committing adultery. Second base I made this was destroyed because of Sinas Chinam. What do you mean, Tachas Yeshalavata Lekecha B'Simcha? We're going to have Chorban because we didn't serve God with Simcha. What does that mean? That's not true. The Torah is lying. It doesn't make any sense. So obviously the Torah is not lying. We have to understand what the Torah means. And I think the way that we understand this is the Rambam that's found by Hilchos Sukkos. When the Rambam describes the Simcha of Sukkos, the Rambam tells us in source number 9, even though by all the holidays there's a mitzvah to be happy, what took place a couple blocks away from here at Sukkos was the greatest happiness of the year. The greatest happiness of the year was at Sukkos. Why? Source Halacha Yud Gimel. What was the Simcha? This is the Simcha by the Nisuch HaMayim, by the Simcha Space of Shoeva. When they would draw the water, everybody was so besimcha. That's a great step. Why? What do they do? The heichais of simcha zu. How do they perform this happiness, this simcha? Hachalil makam menagim bikinor benevelim. Everybody would bring their instruments and they would sing and they would dance. It would be unbelievable simcha. Everybody came. It was a big kumzitz. Okay? And they would say divrei shiros v'tishbachos. Halacha yudal, listen to this. Unbelievable thing. If you go to Simchas Beis Shoeva nowadays, okay? The Simchas Beis Shoeva nowadays is a reflection of it's a remembrance of those Simchas Beis Shoeva. As you go nowadays, everybody's dancing. Everybody's there. But listen what the Rambam tells us to place in the Beis HaMikdash. Mitzvah laharbas b'sim kazu halacha yadalit. V'lo hayu osin oso ame ha'aretz v'kol mishiyirte. The ame ha'aretz, the simple people of Klai Yisrael, we're not dancing. Elo gedoli chachmei Yisrael v'roshi yeshivos v'sanhedrin v'chassidim v'azikeni v'achemaisa. You know who's dancing? The gedolim and the tzaddikim. And the people were on a high level. They were the ones dancing in the Beis HaMikdash. What? And what would happen? So everybody else is there. What would they do? They were the ones dancing. Everybody else came to see and to watch them and to hear them dance and have simcha. What's going on? That's the Simchas Beisueva. That's what people traveled thousands of miles to be Ola L'Regel, to watch other people dance. Doesn't make any sense. But I think the Rambam is telling us this is Simcha. What does that mean? What do I mean? The reason the Gedolim and the Zakenim were the ones that were dancing is because they had true Simcha. They were the ones that understood what Simcha was. And everybody else came to observe this true simcha. And what's that simcha? True simcha is when you live a life connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When your existence and HaKadosh Baruch Hu are one, and they're together, and you live with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's simcha. And people are tzaddikim, the real tzaddikim are people are constantly living with this. And when they dance not because of some other reason, but they dance because they were with the HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And going back to our original question, what does it mean that tokacha, the bad things are going to come because you didn't serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu with simcha? It means that when you don't live a life, simcha equal a connection with God. When you don't live with God, when you don't live a life connected and one with Hashem, you know what's going to happen? Sinas chinam. You're going to kill people. You're going to do avodah zarah. You're going to do adultery. Simcha is the root cause of that. That's why it's going to happen. If you look at source 10 and 11, that the whole idea of sukkah, source number 10, chagasukos tasel chashiv asamim, 7 days. You'll have sukkahs. And what are you going to do on those 7 days? V'samachta b'chagecha. You should have simcha. What type of simcha? Look at source number 11. Take the four meaning. L'kachta l'chem yom arisho pri etz hadar v'kapos tamari v'adaf etz avos b'nei v'arbe nachal. Take the arba meaning. What should you do? V'samachta where? Lifnei Hashem Elokeichem. What type of simcha are you supposed to have? Together with God. A simcha that's lifnei Hashem, that's one with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That the whole purpose of Sukkot, the reason there's so much simcha, is because you just went through Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. You just experienced HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You just said, V'yinu l'cha kesem alucha. You said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I want to rule the world. I realize that you exist, and that I have a relationship with you. And after that experience, you're filled with real simcha. This is the holiday of simcha, because we're one with the HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we have a connection with the HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this whole process of the Yom Narayim at Sukkot is to leave with this connection. Is to have a desire to be close to the HaKadosh Baruch Hu. To be one with the HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why do we do Nisuch HaMayim at Sukkot? What's withdrawing the water? What was this bris? What was this covenant that God made with water? If you look at source number 12, listen to Rabbeinu Bechaya. This is gold. We're going to do the bolded parts. He's explaining what is this bris. V'chein amru b'medrash in source number 12. Mayim atachtorim nikru mayim bochim. The lower waters that are found in this world. Okay, we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, on the second day of creation, He separated the upper and lower waters. All the water used to be in Shemayim. Kadosh Baruch Hu said, take half of it and put it in this world. That's the water we see in this world. but it used to be in Shemayim. So Kosh Baruch Hu, Mayim Tachtonim Nikru Mayim Bochim, the lower waters, the waters found in this world, are called the waters that cry. Why? V'lama Nikru Mayim Bochim? Why do the waters in this lower world cry? Ki b'shoh shekolek HaKadosh Baruch Hu Samayim, because at the time that Kosh Baruch Hu separated the waters, Nasan Elu L'mal of Elu L'mati, he left some in the Shemayim and put some in the Aretz. Ki t'chilu Mayim Tachtonim Bochim, the lower waters started to cry. The separation took place with tears. The lower waters said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're not going to be close to you anymore. We're going to be detached from you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And these lower waters are waters of yearning, of wanting to be close, of wanting to have a connection, of wanting to have simcha. And they're yearning to get back. That's why, by the way, water, there's waves. Why are there waves? Because the water is constantly moving to get back. The water is saying, I want to go back. I don't belong here. I'm trying to get up there. It's yearning. And that's why he says, Ma'asu, what did Kosh Baruch Hu do? These waters are crying. What are you going to do with these waters? They want to be let up. And Kosh Baruch Hu said, if you go to the next bolded part, Kosh Baruch Hu said, you want to come back? I'll let you come back up. I'm going to let every single korban, which starts from Shemayim and goes, starts at Aretz and goes to Shemayim, you're going to be part of that process. You're going to put salt on every korban. Because the korban is also karov, it's coming close to Kosh Baruch Hu. You're going to be part of that process, and you're also going to have Nisach HaMayim. I'm going to let you come up on Sukkis. Why? It makes a lot of sense. If the whole idea of Sukkis is Simcha, if the whole idea of Sukkis is connection, if the whole idea of Sukkis is yearning to come back to Kadosh Baruch Hu, then the place that we turn to, and we highlight, and we emphasize is Mayim. The Mayim Tachtonim, who find themselves also in this lower world, who found themselves detached from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, distanced from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, just like they are going to get lifted up, and just like they are going to bring so much Simcha to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to us, so to our connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They're telling us we can do it. We can be brought back up. You're not stuck in the Aretz. You can lift yourself up to Shemayim. And it's all about yearning. It's all about our connection with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Water represents our connection with Hashem. And therefore, we say in Shema, if we follow Hashem's ways, what's going to happen? We're going to get rain. What's the connection of doing Hashem's ways and rain? Because Hashem says, you connect to me. You are yearning and you're trying to come to me. I'll come down to you. Mayim is a bridge of this world and the upper worlds. And if we don't do Hashem's will, Hashem says, you don't have anything to do with me, I don't have anything to do with you. But on Sukkot, we realize, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we want to be like the Mayim Tachtonim. We want to elevate ourselves. We want to get close to you. And it's a bridge. Sukkot is a bridge from Shemayim Ba'aretz. That explains very nicely in Source 15. I was thinking of it makes a lot of sense that Torah tells us, it's a famous Torah, people know it because of Rosh Chodesh. The Shemati Mechai Ari Tam Ledavar Lefisha Moadim Nitnu Keneged Avos Pesach. So he tells us, the Torah tells us, every Yontif is Keneged, every Shal Shogolim is Keneged, corresponds to one of the fathers. Pesach is Avram, Shavuos is Yitzchak, and Sukkot is Yaakov. Okay, Sukkot, this Yontif is Sukkot. So I was thinking, what's the connection of Sukkot and Yaakov? I think it's very poshut. Yaakov is the midah of Tiferes. What's Tiferes? What? Tiferes is? What? I don't get that.
Glory.
It's glory, splendor. But what does it mean? It means in the world of midos in Kabbalah, it means taking all two opposites and bringing them together. Yaakov is the one that takes chesed of Avram, and the Yira of Yitzchak, opposites, and blends it into one. It turns it into one beautiful thing. Sukkos is that blending of this world and the upper world coming together. It's Yaakov Avinu, that midah of Tiferes, that I am connected to God and I'm yearning to be close to God. I think now we can understand, why do we pick the Arava? What's the focus of the Arava? The whole Sukkos is the idea of yearning. The whole Sukkos is Mayim. But on Rosh Hashanah Rav, we turn to the Arava. What's unique about an Arava? We said all the bad things about Arava. Arava doesn't have taste, doesn't have smell. But look at Source 16, Tanu Rabbanan. Arvei Nachal, they're called Arvei Nachal. What does it mean, Arvei Nachal? Hagedilin ala Nachal. You want to know what's unique about Aravos? They grow next to the water. Okay, what does that mean, they grow next to water? Listen to this, Rav Moshe Shapiro. In Source 17, take this, cut it out, put it next to your bed. Okay? Source 17. Hadavar Borer Shadakudas Ayichud Sheba Arava. You want to know what's unique, the unique quality of an Arava? Sha'avim Nibshal Ibdibi Chazal Elu She'em Bem L'Torah V'Lo Ma'asim Tovim. We know that Chazal tell us the Arava is like someone who doesn't have Ma'asim Tovim or Torah, no taste, no smell. You want to know what it does have? Avodavar Echar Kein Yesh Ba'arava. There is one unique quality about an Arava. V'huz Hatzimut Shala. It's its thirst. And the Arava has a thirst. What does that mean? Arava gdile arov mayim. Then the Arava can't grow without water. Like the Gemara tells us, it's some of his akuka lamayim. That's always looking for water. If you look at my lulav, I should have brought my lulav, it's in the car right now. Okay? If you take my lulav, you take my esrog is beautiful. Okay? I think it's beautiful. My lulav, great. My Adasim almost look perfect. You take my Arava, if I bring my Arava right now with you, it's completely dead. I have to go buy new ones tomorrow. Okay? Well, today, I guess. Yes, today. Okay? I have to go get new Aravos. Why? Because when Arava doesn't have water, it dies. An Arava without water, without a connection to the Mayim, is dead. And what that means is that the tremendous koach of an Arava is that I want. It's a ratzon. It's I'm thirsty. And I think the reason we focus on the Arava, this is my pshat now, we focus on the Arava, on Rosh Hashanah Rabba, because we tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem, I went through the whole process. I went through Rosh Hashanah, I went through Yom Kippur, I went through Sukkos. I don't know if I have Torah. I don't know if I have Ma'asim Tovim. I know today is Yom Adin. There's one thing that I have. Nafshi cholas avasecha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I love you. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I need you. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, fine, maybe I'm not good in this and that. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I just want to be close. I just want the relationship. That Rosh Hashanah Rabbah is all about, you want a relationship or not. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm not going to look at the Torah and the Ma'asim Tovim. I did that Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. This is now, after going through Sukkos, after going through love, after going through sitting in the Sukkah with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What do you want? What's your heart's desires? What are you lovesick for? Is it things that are superficial and have no meaning? Or is it just to be close with Avinu Shebashamayim? That's Rosh Hashanah Rabbah. Is it a Yom HaDin? Is it a Yom Simcha? It is a Yom HaDin. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, where are you? The Simcha is HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, just say you want me, and I'm yours. Just say you care. Just tell me you love me. And we'll have a relationship. It's a simcha because it's such so easy. It's a simcha because we have a relationship. I heard a beautiful thing. I was at a bris, Sukkos bris, unbelievable. Somebody said an unbelievable thing. The father of the grandfather of the boy who was who had the bris, he said that it's an unbelievable thing. He said, you take a baby, you take a little cloth around it, okay, put a cloth around a baby. This is true 40% of the time. You take a cloth around it, you put it, the baby on you, it stops crying. So happy. I have a 4-month-old. Yeah. Okay? But a lot of times, you just take the baby, you put in this little cloth, you put it on, and the baby starts crying. It says, oh, you're here. And the grandfather said, unbelievable thing, he said, a sukkah. Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, we were reborn with the tshuva. HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us for 8 days, and he wrapped us in this little sukkah, and he put us on his shoulders. We stopped crying, because we realized you're here. And now the question is, are we going to walk away saying, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I see you're here, I'm also going to be here. I'm going to be present. I'm going to try. That's Hoshana Rabbah. What's with Dovra Melech? Why is Dovra Melech so important on this day? Before that, we answer the thing about the shadow. Dovra Melech first or the shadow first? Who wants Dovra Melech first? Shadow? Okay, yeah. Figure. What's with the shadow? So I came up with 2 pshatim. Okay, if somebody has a better one, I'm happy to hear it after the shir. Okay, I have 2 pshatim. One is, a shadow cannot be made unless the sun or light is reflecting down on it. Right? A shadow is made is when you, the light is behind you, okay? And now you have a shadow. You are in the shadow. And I think one pashat pshat is, that if, what does it mean that if there's a shadow? It means that in order to make the shadow, there needs to be light. Which means if I connect myself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu on this day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu who is light, and I'm going to have a shadow and I'm going to live. You understood the concept of Hoshana Rabbah. It's to have that relationship. But if you don't put yourself in the light, if you don't connect yourself to God, then you lost out on the whole Hoshana Rabbah. You didn't get the message of Hoshana Rabbah, and you're not going to have a good day. That's one idea. Another idea, it has nothing to do with actually seeing your shadow. Nothing to do with actually seeing your shadow. How do you say shadow in Hebrew? Tzel. What's a word that sounds very similar to that? Tell him. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling us, if you see your tzel, if you see your tzelem Elokim, if you walk out of Hoshana Rabbah, seeing that you're a piece of God, that you're connected to God, if you come out seeing that, then you succeeded, and you'll have a good day. If you don't see yourself as a tzelem Elokim, as somebody who has a connection with God, if you're not someone who's thirsty to have a relationship with Hashem, then you lost Hoshana Rabbah. You lost this amazing present that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us. And that brings us to Dovra Melech. Source number 18. What does Dovra Melech say? It's a famous pasuk. Alekim elai atah esherecha tzama l'cha nafshi. Dovra Melech says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm thirsty for you. Why? At the end of the pasuk, v'ayit b'limayim. There's no water. I don't have water. If you're not part of my life, if there's no connection, then I'm nothing, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Dovra Melech was somebody who was always yearning to be close. He was the person who always realized his relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, he's so essential in this day. And more than that, what does Hoshana Rabbah mean? What does Hoshana mean? Hoshana comes from the word Yeshua. Okay? What's so important about Yeshua? So I brought you 2 sources here, 19 and 20. That Yeshua, the word Yeshua, or variations of it, are connected with Tchiyas HaMeisim, of the revival of the dead. Okay, if you look, we say this in Shemona Esrei, Vein Doma Lecha Moshienu. Sorry, that's one essay. We see this by in Kirkuka, before Keladon on Shabbos. Okay? V'indom l'cha Moshe'enu, there's no one like you, Moshe'enu, our Savior, l'tchiyas ha-meisim. So we see it's connected to tchiyas ha-meisim. And in source number 20, we see every day in Shemona Esrei, 3 times a day, Melech, Meimis, and Mechayet, talking about tchiyas ha-meisim, u'matzmiach, Yeshua. That Yeshua is connected with tchiyas ha-meisim. Hoshana Rabbah is a day. Hoshana Rabbah. What's Hoshana Rabbah? The great Savior. It's a day of Tchiyas HaMeisim. It's a day where you could be an Arava. But you could come back alive. And you could reconnect. And that's Davar HaMelech. I don't know if you know this. It's an unbelievable thing about Davar HaMelech. Davar HaMelech's whole existence comes from Tchias HaMeisim. Anybody know the story? How many years was Davar HaMelech supposed to live?
Zero.
How many months was he supposed to live? 3. David HaMelech was supposed to live 3 months. This is source 21. You can look at it later. Adam HaRishon was shown all the souls that were going to come into this world. And he sees David HaMelech's soul. And he sees that David HaMelech is only supposed to live 3 months. And Adam says, this soul can't live 3 months. It can't. It's David HaMelech. Adam says, I'm going to give him 70 years of my life. Says the Medrash. Meaning Adam wasn't supposed to even live. And the foundation of David is Tchias HaMeisim. David HaMelech is therefore somebody who appreciates life because he shouldn't have had it. He's someone who's able to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for every single thing that he's given in this world. And he is the ultimate person of Tchias HaMeisim. We know by David HaMelech, he was chosen. You know that Shmuel was sent to go find the Mashiach, to find the Melech. And he goes to Yishai's house. Yishai has many, many sons. And he goes and he goes to all the sons. David is the smallest, weakest son. And he doesn't even go to pick him as the king. And he becomes the king. He's the underdog. He's the Arava. He's the one that you think can't make it. And he becomes the king. That is Hoshana Rabbah. You can become David HaMelech. You become a king. David HaMelech is all about tefillah. David HaMelech is all about davening. He realizes, I'm not the center of the world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. He realizes, I'm nothing. Everything comes from Hashem. And therefore he has a relationship. Tefillah is a relationship with God. He exists. I can ask Him. I can talk to Him. You can only do it to somebody you have a relationship with. That's Davar HaMelech, that's Hoshana Rabbah. And therefore we see in Source 25, we say this every day, by Baruch David Hashem, when Davar HaMelech, he praises HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's Pasuk Yudalef, he says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kichol B'Shemayim V'Aretz. You're not just the Shemayim and the Aretz. He realizes this bridge, he realizes this connection, he realizes the relationship, and he goes on to say in the next 3 psukim, everything comes from you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But at the Moshe Bakol, you rule everything, and in your hand is the ability to give everybody strength. And David says, I'm a nobody, I'm a nothing. We have a relationship with you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is Hoshana Rabbah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm a nobody, I'm a nothing. But I have a relationship with you. And I realize it all comes from you. Tomorrow is the day of Tefillah where we say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I want to be close. And I need you to give me the tools in order to stay close. In order to allow me to succeed. In order to allow me to come out of my year at MMY the best person I could be. Someone who's connected to you, who thinks about you. And finally, to end with source number 26, the Dagomach and Ephraim, the grandson of the Baal Shem, brings from his grandfather, the Baal Shem Tov. Just the bolded part. V'yadua, a person could say, okay, what's the matter? Who cares if I just say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I want to be close, but I'm not actually close. Listen to what he says. V'yadua b'makom shemachshato sh'adam sham hu kulo. Wherever a person's thoughts are, wherever a person thinks and wants, HaKadosh Baruch Hu views you as if you're there. And he says, oh, you're worthy. Tomorrow is the day to tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu, my thoughts are with you. My connection is with you. I want to be close to you. I give us all a bracha. It's late. I'm going to get tired. Realize the koach comes from my kosh bracha. The davent Hashem, they should give you koach, first of all. Second of all, that we should be able to connect. That we should see our koach. That we should see how much HaKadosh Baruch Hu believes in us. That He wants us to change. That He wants us to be good. He wants us to live. He wants to have a relationship with us. We should be zocha to recognize that, to believe it, to act on it. And Amir Tzah Hashem, when we do that, we won't be sitting in Yerushalayim learning a couple blocks away from a Chorban. We'll be sitting a couple blocks away from the Beis HaMikdash. Mi'heir v'meinu, amen, v'amen.